but it ran out till after 10.
Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, brought to you by Refreshment Services Pepsi Harvest Ridge Coffee. We're going to talk today about the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County and my good friends and really perennial guests now. Jack Freiberg and Chuck Schultz are here to take over again the airwaves, and we're going to talk about the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County, but first, history was made in Chicago, and Chuck Schultz, you were there?
I was there,
yes. You were at the Democratic National Convention, so give us a snapshot of what you thought.
Well, I had been talking to Senator Durbin a week before, and he invited me to be his guest because he spoke Monday night. And so I did attend. It was very interesting. It's the fourth national political convention that I've attended. And previously, I had one in Chicago in 1996. But the security for this, I've been to a couple of State of the Unions, which is pretty much the ultimate security where they totally block off.
Yeah, because only one person is in the bunker. Like, if the world comes to an end, the Secretary of Agriculture or the Secretary of the Interior then rules the free world. Yeah.
So you can't get within a mile of the Capitol. For Obama's first inauguration, you had, after, you know, there's a million people trying to get out of there. We're trying to get to the airport. You had to walk probably 18 blocks. Once you got out of the secured area, then there's cabs and whatever. It was a mad scramble. But at this convention Monday night, cab lets you out probably 8 blocks from the United Center. And you go through about 3 blocks of just their guiding you through. And then there was a long line because one of the other security things didn't happen. So anyway, it moved well. We were in there for the national anthem. It was fun, super well organized. I mean, whoever produced this thing, you know, I don't know if you saw the roll call the other night, the way they did that with the DJ and each state singing a different song. I mean, you can see why the numbers are going up with the youth vote, and the gender gap also just keeps widening. But it was, you know, I love history, and to hear President Biden's valedictory there, that was a moment of history. And another moment of history that night was Kamala Harris walked out on the stage on Monday night. That doesn't happen. The nominee comes on Thursday, accepts the nomination, and makes the speech. So you can imagine 20,000 people, United Center, that place went crazy.
And that was a surprise.
But here's the highlight of my trip.
Okay.
The next morning, Senator Durbin and Senator Duckworth, on, you know, their, it's their town, everyone's in Chicago, so they throw a brunch. And where did they throw that brunch? The best Chicago place you could, Wrigley Field. So they bought out Wrigley Field from 9 to 12. You could take batting practice, go pick a ivory sprig off the wall, go in the dugouts, wherever you wanted to go. And that was very cool. And I'm a Cardinal fan. But Wrigley is special.
One little trivia item. Rob Mellon, the executive director of the Historical Society, is a member of the Army Reserve, and his assignment for the past year has been on the security team to secure both the Republican conventions and the Democratic conventions. So hopefully...
Everything was highly secure. We didn't see any demonstrators. I'm sure they were there. But I stayed down in the loop, which is always safe anyway. But, I mean, police presence was enormous. They must have brought them in from all over.
Yeah, it was very interesting to see Bill Clinton speak, for example, and the old guard, you know. And Chuck, you're kind of an old guard kind of guy. was there truly a handing over to a more youthful? Because, I mean, I'm sorry, Kamala Harris is not a teenager. I mean, yes, she's much younger, but I mean,
it's generational.
To
though.
Be president,
right.
You have to have some gravitas. You can't be a 10-year-old kid and be president. So, but really, did you really perceive a gravitational shift down to a younger dynamic?
I think absolutely, and that's, she's lit that up. But you know, the old coach came across very well, also. But I was going to ask Jack, you know, us Democrats, we're happy to have Barack Obama and Bill Clinton there. Unfortunately, President Carter couldn't make it. He's 100 years old. But the Republicans don't invite their... Well, they only have one, I guess. But W wasn't at the Republican convention,
was
he?
Would W go, though?
Well, probably not, you know?
He's been in conflict with Trump for some time.
That's what
so.
I mean.
You know, Jim Edgar and Ray LaHood just endorsed Kamala. And obviously, that's just because... They've seen Trump, and they, you know, they can't support that. But there's Kinziger spoke last night, Republican congressman from Illinois that endorsed Harris.
Well, it really is there is a Trump or never Trump. I mean, these are they're very much a split.
But there's also a you know Bill Barr who was Trump's attorney general, and at the end got into a big brouhaha with Trump. And if you remember correctly, he left early rather than finishing out his term. And he was asked on the Today Show. I saw this not too long ago. He was saying, "Well, where are you going to vote?" And he says, "I'm going to vote for Trump." You know, and they kind of looked at him and kind of said, "Well, why are you doing that?" And he says, "Our system is a binary system." He said, "You know, we've only got two parties that you can vote for, and although I obviously don't agree with Mr. Trump, you know, on very specific items, I mean, I left his administration after all. I feel that our binary system, that the Republican Party has more right with it than the Democratic Party does."
Probably a business decision, frankly.
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to be that cynical. But the truth of the matter is, there's a lot of people who cannot stand Donald Trump that are going to vote Republican. And there's a lot of people who don't like Kamala Harris that are going to vote Democrat. And it's because if you only have these two choices, I'm going to hold my nose.
Which I think I've said before on this show, the only thing I'm really getting out of this election is how faulty the two-party system is.
And our founders never wanted that. George Washington abhorred the concept of political parties. That was not within the framers' vision for our future. And, it's tough. And I don't think it's ever going to change. But the whole thing, you know, the Electoral College, we have this anachronism from, what, next year or 2 years from now, it'll be 250 years ago?
Yeah. So anyway, we have gotten those remarks from these two guys, and I always love it because Jack's sitting there with his GOP standard, even though he probably doesn't care too much for Mr. Trump, and Mr. Schultz is going to be a Democrat till the day he dies. If they were running a real jackass, he'd vote for them.
Well, Jack asked me one time, he said, "You know, you're pretty conservative by nature. Why wouldn't you be a Republican?" Mary, I said, "You know, my dad was a Democrat and my grandfather's a Democrat." And Jack said, "Yeah, well, let me put it to you this way. What if your father was a horse thief and your grandfather was a horse thief?" Then I said, "You know what? Then I could be a Republican."
Oh!
Remember that?
Oh, my God.
That joke was originally told about Teddy Roosevelt.
And see,
that
sounds like a
chestnut.
Ronald Reagan joke to me.
Okay, so you guys...
Well, it's applicable.
It's applicable. Okay, it's great. We're going to talk about something local and serious, and that is the fact that the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County took over the beautiful, original Quincy Public Library building and have made it into a wonderful museum here at the corner of 4th and Main. But because it's an 1880s building, it has some problems, and one of them is handicap accessibility. And so there's a fun drive on to build to get an elevator shaft.
Let's do a little bit of history on that building. It was designed by the architectural firm of Patton and Fisher and was built in 1888. Now, little trivia stuff. There's only one other building built or designed by Patton and Fisher in Quincy, and there's only really three that I think of when I think of the Richardson Romanesque buildings that it's designed in. Okay, first question is, what's the other building? And I would expect you to know this, Mr. Schultz, but other building was designed by Patton and Fisher?
It looks to me like the polling house.
This is commercial.
East
now.
Commercial. So would it be the Granite Bank Building, 428 Main?
That's exactly it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and another.
Which is a very cool building, and it has a little apartment way up on the top that George Irwin had at one time. Yeah.
Well, I think I want to move into that little
apartment. Oh, it's so cool
there
up
now.
There. Yeah.
You know, we have an apartment.
It looks out on Washington Park.
Up here at Lincoln Douglas. And
I've never been up there.
I haven't either. I've never been up to the penthouse. We'll go. That'll be our
field
trip.
There's a lot of history here in Lincoln Douglas. John F. Kennedy spoke in his building.
Yes, I puked on him right here in
his
body.
Oh, my God, Mary.
I threw up on John F. Kennedy. He was just a senator then, not the president. My mother said, kiss my baby, and I threw up all over
John F. Kennedy. DNA with the leader of the free world.
Another Richardson, Mary Griffith moment.
Yes, another great Mary Griffith moment. Richardson Romanesque is also the Quincy History Museum.
That's exactly
right. And right across the street.
That's exactly, and right across the street
in
the
Warfield
House.
What I call the Dr. She House, the Warfield House.
Warfield.
Okay.
So, ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding, ding. Okay, Granite Bank Gallery, Quincy
Public
Library.
Were we supposed to make that in the form of a question, Jack? Or
well, I'm
just... I'd love to see you guys be on Jeopardy. Would you ever... Could we...
I enjoyed Jeopardy.
Are you quick enough, though?
I watch it, and that's the thing I was just going to say.
It's got
to
be really quick.
My time on the responder has delayed as I have aged.
Okay, well, let's talk about this fundraiser, because we got to get this in. The Historical Society needs everyone's help, and it's so critical. I've already made my contribution, and they're trying to do a lot. But one of the main things is to build an elevator, but keep it historically accurate and build an elevator so that we can serve all the floors.
It's going to be on the west side of the building. So the edifice that we see while looking from Washington Park and looking from the city in general is going to remain the same. We want to keep the visuals on the front of it look as much. So you're going to be approaching this from the west. The elevator is going to be on the west side. This is the first major construction project on that building since 1929, when Ernest Wood addition was put on the building. So it's almost been 100 years since the more. Now, our main project here is to go ahead and do the handicap accessibility and the elevator, because we want to make sure that we've got bathrooms up to code. There's only one usable bathroom in the entire place right now. That's on the main floor. But, you know, there's major hurdles to get into that building for anybody who is elderly or has any kind of disability, because you have 8 steps to walk in. The building's not on the ground floor. The building's kind of on a half floor when you get up there. And then in addition to that, to get up to the second floor where all of the children's department used to be, where the baby boomers would know, that is 24 steps. And it's just staggering to go ahead and get up that.
And, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990, signed by H.W. Bush. And all these years, you know, we've done the courthouses. I've been involved in that when I was in the Attorney General's office. And now we have the curb cuts and we have the accessibility. But it's unfair to disabled people, folks that are challenged with mobility. And we got to make this successful, because there's so much that's can be had inside there already. Like across the street, as we look at this up there in that turreted area, they have this Washington Park display. I think the Holsgraves donated, which is fascinating to show different versions of Washington. You're looking down at Washington Park.
You're in the building. You're looking down at the park, and then you can see what it looked like in all the different decades. What did it look like in 1860? What did it look like? You know, whatever. It's great, yeah. And they've been having, like, the John Anderson Film Festival is this weekend, and they've had it at the Senior Center because it's handicap accessible and holds enough people. But they want to bring these programs eventually, unless they're extremely large, they want to bring them back to 4th and Main. So we've got to raise money. So let's get down to the brass tacks of it.
The brass tacks on this is we want to raise $2 million, and that sounds like an awful lot of money. Well, we've got a state grant for $1.5 million, but that $1.5 million has been eroded quite a bit. Originally, this project was first proposed in 2019, and then it was passed by the legislature in 2020. The problem is COVID hit, and we didn't receive any of this money until 2023. Well, what's happened in that period of time? We estimate we've had a 30 or 40% erosion of that $1.5 million purchasing power, just because of the fact that the inflation at that period of time was so severe. So we now want to raise $2 million in addition to the $1.5 million. The construction portion of that is going to be $1.3 million. If we do all of our wish lists on that, which includes remodeling the Ernest Wood addition and moving the Lincoln Gallery. And a lot of people don't know about the Lincoln Gallery, but if you go into it, and it's in the auxiliary building over at the John Wood Mansion, but if you go in there and look at that, you'll see an enormous amount of documents and enormous documentation of how Abraham Lincoln was heavily involved with people in this area. General Morgan's appointment as a full general, we have the original document for that in there. We have
relics from the assassins.
We have relics from the mm-hmm. from the assassin and from the assassination and, mm-hmm. and handcuffs and keys to the original Mormon temple. But there's also a lot of narrative in there talking about Browning Hickman and who else was in there? Chuck, help me a second.
Well, it's. The bigger point is that's kind of hard to get to, and we don't always capture everybody. Well, hopefully, this will be the History Museum at Quincy. And we would appeal, you know, Mary, you mentioned us baby boomers that remember Marty Ward as our children's librarian and going up those steps on a Saturday morning. And she had a big impact on my life. She's an amazing person, but she conspired with my mother to get me to start reading and, you know, opened up a whole world. And that was at the children's department.
And the baby boomers have quite an affection and memory for that in using that building.
So we need everybody to contribute. How can they do it, and what's your timeline?
Well, we want to get this money raised as soon as possible. We're definitely going to have a project. The easiest way to donate is just go ahead and call the office for the Historical Society. It's 217-222-1835, and we will be happy to go ahead and mail you the information, which will be a pledge card and everything you'll need to simply get this back.
Mary, I just want to add one thing about the significance of the building itself. America's greatest author, Mark Twain, you know, Hemingway said the history of American literature begins and ends with one book, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. So, and Mark Twain at one time is probably the most famous person in the world. He wrote about this building and life on the Mississippi when he came down the river. He wrote about our beautiful libraries, mentioned the reading room. He stayed across the street at the Newcomb Hotel. And out at QU Library, your old friend Katie Krauser could show you the spittoon that supposedly was tossed out the window by Mark Twain onto Main Street, a dented spittoon. He had left instructions not to be disturbed until noon, and someone disturbed him. Or at least that's the local legend. But you know, you can't have anything better than Mark Twain writing about this building.
That is so true. So, folks, we need your help. They're raising $2 million. They need to do it probably in the next few months.
The sooner the better.
Because
we have to have this money spent by the state by the end of March.
So we're under a time frame.
So we have to really be raising money in this next few months here.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to end it at that. We're going to hear from our airport director next and talk about aviation. But we thank Chuck and Jack for coming by. Thank you for your insight into the Democratic Convention. Like you said, not a huge contingency from Quincy went up there. Jack, you didn't make it up, did you?
No, that one somehow got by me.
Somehow that missed your important places to be tonight. Okay, thank you very much. And remember, call the Historical Society at 222-1835 if you can help them with the project to put an elevator. And there's more than that. It's more than just the elevator. They're expanding. They're modernizing.
Yeah, one of the things that we want to for sure do is move that Lincoln stuff over to the History Museum. And the space that's now occupied by the History Museum, we will put the John Wood artifacts that we have in there, because we want the John Wood artifacts on display alongside the John Wood Mansion. And we want the Lincoln items here, easily accessible and closer to the debate site.
Yeah, and you know, 4th Street is going to go back to going two-way, so we'll be third. We don't want like these big trucks who are looking out the window going in front of our town square. That's going to change with the Highway 57 upgrades.
And
so the whole downtown here, this will be a big contributor to the revitalization.
Okay. We look forward to even hearing more. And for now, we're going to call it quits. Head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative and see what's happening in the farm markets. And then we'll talk to our director of the Baldwin Field, Quincy Regional Airport. Stay tuned. And don't forget, the Quincy Children's Museum will have free adventures there from 11:30 to 1:30. So be sure to bring the whole family up to Carthage for that event tomorrow. I'm pleased to have behind the microphone at the Mary Griffith Show, I think for the first time, Ty Zong, who is the director of Quincy's Baldwin Field, Quincy Regional Airport. We're going to talk about all things to do with commercial aviation and private aviation at Baldwin Field. But first, let's learn a little bit about you. Ty, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ty, and I'm the interim director at Quincy Airport. I come on board last October as the operations manager, and after Chuck Miller, my predecessor, left for another airport, I took over his role. Before that, I was working at Connecticut, the airport called the Bridgeport-Sikorsky Airport, as operation and lead for 2 years.
So you come in an aviation background. Was being around planes and being part of transportation aviation always a dream of yours, or how did you get into it?
So actually, that is a funny story. You know, I actually went to SIU. Actually, whenever I started, I want to be involved in automotive. But whenever I talked to the advisor, they told me, say, well, we have full student this semester. You're going to wait. And I'm like, I don't really want to wait for a whole year, but, you know, I still want to be like a mechanic, something like that. So I walk across the hall to aviation technology. So that's how I start my aviation career, first as a mechanic, and later on become a pilot. And for my master's degree, I get the aviation management and slowly learning the whole aviation field.
So you wanted to be a car mechanic, a grease monkey, but you said, well, I can't wait for that. I'm just going to learn how to work on planes. And it worked out well for you.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Fantastic. So you can fix the plane, fly the plane, and direct all the traffic around the Baldwin Field. So
I guess so.
You can do it all. Okay. We'll have to have Thai Airlines, I think. Let's get right to brass tacks. We are having some difficulties at Baldwin Field. Now, these are not necessarily particular to Quincy. There has been a pilot shortage for a while. There's been a plane shortage for a while. There's probably been a mechanic shortage for a while. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, I don't care about all that. If I'm trying to get from point A to point B, I want the plane that said it was going to take off at X to take off at X. Can you give us right now a snapshot of the reliability of Southern Airways at Baldwin Field?
So I look at their reliability monthly, actually. Their report is not very promising. Right now, their employment or their completion rate, compared to what they proposed to us, which is 36 flights per week, their only completion rate is about 77 to 80%. They have a lot of technical issue with their aircraft. However, their closest mechanic is in St. Louis. So, which means if there's any problem with the aircraft, at least the passenger have wait 2 hours for a mechanic showing up and diagnose the aircraft. And plus, they have some planning issue, I think, for both maintenance and their piloting. I saw sometimes, you know, on their reports, they say their pilot crew availability become a problem. It's not because they short a pilot. It's sometimes, you know, that's how FAA regulated. If a pilot start clocking, for example, they clock in 8 hours, that's including the time they at the office. You know, they mentor the pilot to have another 8 hours, you know, rest. If they stay in the office for 12 hours, they have to have 24 hours rest. So I guess, you know, the company is not planning well. So sometimes, you know, the crew is not available, although they have enough pilots. But they screwed up the schedule, makes the pilot cannot fly the aircraft for that subsequent flight. And also, their maintenance become an issue. Because sometimes I saw their cancellation reason is call out for routine maintenance. And my thing is, if you already know this aircraft going to come due for a maintenance, like if your car is going to come for an oil change, you're planning ahead of time, call the dealer, say, hey, I'm going to drop it off on this day, but not affecting my work. I guess Southern Airways failed to do that. So they usually take an excuse, they fail to explain, they don't want to explain to customer what's going on. But I saw the report, and this is what happened to them.
You paint a not-so-pretty picture of Southern Airways. We've had other carriers, too, that have had problems. Southern Airways may be the worst. What do you recommend? Are we in a contract we can't get out of? Should we renegotiate for a new carrier? Will things be better with a new carrier? What are the prospects? Because Quincy's Baldwin Field is a great airport, and you're making all kinds of improvements out there. I just flew into Midway, and we talked beforehand. Mm-hmm. Midway Airport in Chicago has shorter runways than Baldwin Field. So, mm-hmm. You know, if you feel like, I don't want to fly into Baldwin Field, it's a small airport. No, it's not. The airport's quite large and quite capable of handling almost the second biggest aircraft built. So that's not the problem. The problem is getting a reliable service. Mm-hmm. So where do we go from here?
So actually, we've been dealing with their company official complaining directly to their company official for a year right now. We have routine bi-weekly call with Mark Sisteri, which is whoever is in charge of the daily operation for Southerns. We have constantly complained to them. They actually give us a lot of promises. However, none of their promises come true. So we reach out to DOT, ask them for advice. What should we do? And right now we are following the DOT's guideline. Keep talking to the Southern Airways. Try to get a solution. However, we already come to a point, which is they stopped talking to us, seems likely. You know, in the last couple of months, they keep canceling their call for miscellaneous reasons. So I think last week, I actually sent a letter to Mayor with my concern to the Southern Airways. And we would like to send an official letter to DOT again to address our concern, and hopefully we can get a solution for that.
Well, you're in a tight spot because, you know, you're in charge of the airport, but you're not in charge of Southern Airways. So you can complain all you want. They can kind of ignore you all they want.
Yes.
DOT may have to get involved. We are an essential air service airport, so we should have service. But here's where the rubber meets the road, Ty, and you know this because you were probably very disappointed at Southern Illinois University when they didn't have enough professors and classroom space for you to become the auto mechanic that you wanted to be. Fortunately, they had an alternative that you were able to thrive under. There isn't an alternative. And I love to fly out of Baldwin Field, and I do it as much as I can. But I will tell you, the last two trips I've taken, not that I planned. I didn't plan them, so I have to go with what my friends want. Mm-hmm. They refused. They said, we'll just get bumped. It's not even worth trying. When that attitude prevails in our city, isn't that sinking the battleship? If Southern Airways suddenly had 100% reliability, 100% great planes, the Pilot of the Year award winners, are people done? Give me your honest opinion. Are people just done with trying to get reliable air service out of Baldwin Field?
I understand it. And this actually, we just have the call with Southern yesterday, and this is what we exactly told them. We already lost our trust and the faith in them. So, Mary, let me tell you, something is on the way, and the airport and the city is trying our best to get something done so we can have our reliable air service back to the Quincy.
Okay, and I appreciate that, and I can tell, folks, you can't see him, but this man is sincere. He is troubled by this. You don't want to be in charge of a ship that never sails. I mean, you know, you've got that beautiful airport, all those new construction things, all that new great thing, and you can't get somebody to reliably fly in here. But I go back to, you gave me a little hope there, you gave me everything, but what realistically, I mean, at what point does it become where you're going to have to rebuild trust and confidence? I don't know if you can do that with Southern at all. And though now we have to start with a new carrier, and they could have problems too. So you can kind of see where people are getting very dejected. And if people don't use Baldwin Field, what happens? We lose money.
Yep, we lose federal grants. You know, partial of our federal grants is based on the employments. If I think it's over 10,000 in payments per year, we get an extra $1 million from the federal. So right now we are not getting it just because our employment is very poorly. It's less than 5,000 in payment per year currently.
We don't get anything for that, I guess. 5,000 employments doesn't get you anything.
No.
Okay, so we're only at half of what we should be. And part of that is because 80%, 20% of the time they don't fly.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of the time people have no confidence in them, so they're not bothering to book. They're just driving to St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
which or taking Amtrak to Chicago, which are not solutions that as the airport manager you want to see people take. I understand that. So if we don't get this money, even though we've had all these problems, will the federal DOT, Department of Transportation, say, look, you've done your best, it's not your fault, we'll still give you the $1 million? Or do they just say, we don't care why you didn't have the employment, you're out of luck?
So what they're going to do is they try to work with us. If the airline become really a trouble, they will see what they can do. It's either they're going to talk to the airline for us as a warning, you know, because DOT is directly have the contract with those airlines. So their words means a lot.
Then why aren't they being more forceful?
We are working on it right now. So we are sending out a letter this week, and hopefully we can get her back from DOT sometime next week, like a solution for this.
Okay. We're talking today with Ty Zong. He is the interim airport manager at Quincy's Baldwin Field. I just got a chance to go out there, and Ty gave me a little tour with some other people. And boy, I mean, first of all, the terminal's beautiful, the John Beignet terminal. Baggage claim is a breeze. You know, getting through TSA out there is delightful. You know, everything out there is great, except will the ding-dang plane come in. So we're going to take a break. I think he's answered the questions to the best of his ability. It's not going to be solved overnight, but he's working on it. We're going to come back, and we're going to spend just a few minutes talking about the improvements that are being made. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We are back. Just the remaining moments, and I promised Ty Zong I would not just beat him up, you know, with things that he can't solve. But now let's talk about some great things that he is directing out at the airport. And these are physical improvements. So once we do get a reliable carrier out there, they're going to have the best runways in the area. Talk about Baldwin Field and what's being done out there.
So right now we're currently under a runway rehabilitation project for the major runway, 0422 runway. So what we're doing at current phase is raise the approach and fort side for 6.5 feet. By doing that, actually, we are going to eliminate the blind spot for the pilot. Pilots will have a better view whenever they're going to take off or for landing. And the runway condition going to improve as well because it's going to be a brand new runway, asphalt runway. And we're also adding some newer signs for the pilot, you know, what we call the runway remaining sign, which is this typically for bigger jet coming in. It will tell the pilot how many feet off runway you have left. So what all we're doing is improve the safety for airline and private aircraft operation.
When people always say, why do so many presidents come to Quincy, or why do so many high-profile politicians come to Quincy?
Mm-hmm.
I say, because they can land at Baldwin Field.
Yes.
And we talked, you can land, what's the biggest aircraft you can land out there?
I think it's 757.
757 can land at Baldwin Field, yet when I flew out of Midway, Chicago earlier this year, they couldn't get a regular plane off the ground because the runway was too short. They had to reduce weight is what they said. So 18 people had to disembark, you know, and go on the next flight. So Quincy, it's not a capacity problem. We can land almost anything out there. We can bring in cargo. We can bring in small private planes. We can have corporate jets. The sky's the limit out there. Our airport is a shining jewel. What's it going to take to get it better utilized?
Well, I'm still thinking about my goal is kind of bring some facility here as well, like what we call MRO, major repair operation, which is, you know, like airliners and even private jets. You know, they have annual repair, annual inspection, 100-hour inspection, all those, like those major repair or maintenance have to happen at a certified shop. What I'm trying to do is see if it's possible to bring one of those shop here. You know, we can increase more job and we can bring more mechanic to this area and also bring more flights to our airport as well.
Yeah, because more people would want to fly in. Small private planes would want to fly in because they could get their maintenance done and eat lunch at the cafeteria, yeah. Tour around Quincy and see our beautiful town. I like to have a mechanic on that job, so good. We've talked about that before. There's been hope that there would be a maintenance hub there before, and you know that will solve a lot of problems. Plus, it's those head of household jobs. Those airplane mechanics make a lot of money, and so do pilots. Yeah. Do airport directors make a lot of money?
Well, I think right now I make enough to make myself happy.
Okay. Not married?
I'm married.
Okay. Well, you got to make your wife happy, too.
Well, she is happy. Okay. She got her job, so we are good.
Okay. So she's not happy about your job, but she's happy about her job. That's all that matters. We're glad you're happy. Thank you so much. We'll have you back on more often. I really enjoy talking with you. You've got a lot to say. Thank you so much.
Thank you.